Hi.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi, JD.
How are you?
I am well. I have a full burrito from Chipotle in Metomi.
That's good.
Got a little bit of news here to talk about. And I have a podcast to record.
You do?
Yeah.
Can I come?
Sure, man. Let's go. Welcome to Press Start to Start, the Screen Peekers podcast.
For video game news.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It is fun. News and opinions.
Yeah.
Which include reviews.
Yeah.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah. We think we're pretty good at
pretty
it.
Pretty good. We have fun, at least.
We've been doing it for a while.
What matters.
Hopefully practice helps.
4.5 years. That's weird.
It's a long time, man.
Yeah. Since, what was it? March or April of 2012, I think.
It was just heating up.
Yeah.
Just heating up. But yeah, like we said prior to the theme song, not much to talk about this week. So we're probably going to be doing a lot of opinion spouting and perhaps some debating.
Yeah, a little bit just, talking about what we want to talk about, because that's what happens when we don't have news
and JD,
to discuss.
This morning I had a vision.
Did
JD,
you?
I saw it. Saw it perfectly. It was us.
Yes.
Playing through Perfect Dark.
Uh-huh.
Cooperatively.
That's impossible.
I think it needs to happen.
There's no way that we don't have the technology.
Because, like, that was an important game to me. I want to say that was in my top three games for some time.
Oh, like, wow.
All
really?
Through middle school, I want to say. I don't know, just this morning, I just got a wild hair and I'm like, I know JD would be able to get into this movie. Oh, you know what? I was thinking about how frame rate drops in old games happen when you're playing with multiple people.
Oh, yes.
And Perfect Dark had that problem, obviously.
Down to like 10.
Yeah. And now we don't have that problem as much anymore when we're playing it on 360. Anyway, not news, but that's just one example of the tangents we're going to be having this podcast.
You know, if we recorded that, we'd actually have a game that had multiple screens.
yeah, for peeking it, you know, yeah. We better not.
It's impossible.
We could play a counter-operative mode, where one of us, probably me, plays random bad guys with bad guy health. So you can just kill me in 2 shots, but I'm a bad guy.
You're bad.
That could be fun.
We could.
We should consider.
If you have an opinion, give it below.
Yeah.
If you don't, then we won't get any comments.
Let's play Perfect Dark. Classic N64 game. Yeah.
If you watch our Let's Plays. If you don't, we have a Let's Play channel.
We do. It's on YouTube.
It is on YouTube. And you can search for Screen Peekers or go to youtube.com/screenpeekersgaming or I think youtube.com/pressstart2start. I think that still exists.
Yeah. Anyway.
But go there.
Let's move on with the podcast.
Whoa.
JD, God, you're holding us up.
We're recording. We don't have news, Jeff. I don't think, I don't know where you've been.
Yeah, but we have stuff to talk about. We have stuff to talk about in our very first segment.
What you playing?
It's called What You Playing.
Oh, I like that name. We should patent that.
I don't think patents work that way.
They don't?
No.
Let's patent that. The way that patents work.
We could trademark that usage of patents. Sorry, trademark moves.
Yeah.
I want to say like we did actually manage to play some new things. So Deus Ex Mankind Divided came out last week.
You played it for 15 minutes.
I played it for 15 minutes, had glowing review. And now I've played several hours. I haven't played as much as I thought I would. I ended up doing a bunch of stuff this weekend, but
lame.
I'm really liking it. It's very similar to Human Revolution, you know, like the dialogue and the tech tree type stuff. Those all work basically the same way. You have a hub world, like a hub location that apparently it's like the only hub you have in the game, but maybe there are more later. That is huge, very fully realized. And it's weird. There's so few loading areas in it.
That's
like,
cool.
I keep finding stuff and being like, oh, I bet this is going to be a loading area. And no, it isn't. It's like, oh, yeah, this giant ass bank that has like 8 floors and a ton of different stuff in it. Nope, it's in the exact same location. Maybe like probably dynamic loading somewhere in there, right? But it's really cool how they do that.
So does the entire game take place in one spot? Like, no, is it everything off this hub world?
I definitely caught a helicopter that took me to a different country for a story mission. But even there, it wasn't all pure mission. There were civilian areas and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. Let's see. What's different? Hacking is basically normal. Like, they're definitely... There's just that trademark Deus Ex, like, there are 4 billion routes to get through this area that I love. And it'll be funny. I'll sneak through one way going through, like, vents and stuff like that and holding my breath to get through gas, to turn off the gas so I can get in. And then I'll get back to the main corridor and it'll be like, oh, but where's this secret area going? And it's like, oh, this was one of 5 other ways to get through here. It's just, it kind of can lead to me being confused and a little lost, but I kind of like it because it makes sense.
And so you're playing mostly stealth, right?
I almost exclusively play stealth, non-lethal playthroughs of Deus Ex. I'm really pissed, actually. And this is kind of funny. It's showing how, you know, games are almost always accidentally black and white, or maybe black, gray, and white.
Yeah.
I did a mission, and apparently someone died in it. I don't even know how. I knocked out a bunch of people, but maybe one of them died somehow. One person died, according to my stats, because I've killed one person.
Huh.
And the media keeps calling it a bloodbath, and people keep asking me about murdering all these people on this one mission. And I'm like, one guy died, and I didn't even do it on purpose. And, like, Jensen, you know, is just like, it was what I had to do. And I'm like, no, I didn't do it. There's no option for that was an accident.
That's weird.
I didn't even know someone had died. It's kind of annoying. And it makes sense for the media to blow it out of proportion. But
Sure.
But when Jensen doesn't have my back, that's when I...
It is weird, given like how far we've come in games and options and branching paths and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you'd think they'd either, one, know it was like an accidental death. Like, I knocked this person out and something else later killed them. But... it'd be really hard because I could very easily maniacally create like this Rube Goldberg device to murder someone.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, I don't know, we found 12 dead bodies mutilated, but they all looked like natural deaths.
But I mean, it was one person also.
It was one person, I'm pretty sure.
Clearly not a bloodbath.
It's just really great so far. I had some coworkers who hated the first segment. You know how games always are, especially games with big like skill trees. They start you out with like half of the skill tree unlocked. You do one mission that's probably really combat focused that it does to teach you all the basics.
Yeah.
You finish that mission. You get to the hub. They take away all your skills due to whatever story reason. And in Mankind Divided's defense, and this... I don't really consider this a spoiler, and I consider everything a spoiler. It's like, you know, they do that, then they take them away. But they give it, one, an in-game technical reason, and two, once that technical reason is resolved, which could happen in, like, half an hour if you really tried, you get all that stuff back. Or at least you get, like, the points to spend it on upgrades.
That's good.
So I could have gotten myself right back to it, but I was like, I don't really need the cloaking because I'm awesome. I'm good at not using cloaking.
Yeah.
So I spent it elsewhere. And I thought that was a really interesting, unique way to do the whole, like, a taste of power and then take it away. But just kidding, here's the power back, because why the heck would Adam Jensen not have all of his upgrades?
Yeah. I can see why people wouldn't like that, just because it's been done to death in games like Metroid.
I don't know. The people I'm talking to don't hate that. I just thought that was a cool way to do it, so I was calling it out. They just really don't like that first level for some reason. I don't get it still. Like, it felt cool to me. You're in a abandoned, broken skyscraper in Dubai. It's really cool. You're sneaking in. You're doing stuff. There's a person who may or may not die, and they definitely can survive, and they definitely can die there, and it affects things throughout the rest of the game, from what I can tell. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'll have to find out.
I will. So many side missions, though, with like this huge hub, it gave them a lot of opportunity for these really big, lengthy side missions that I totally got sucked into. I don't think I did a story mission this weekend. I think I finally did it like last night.
And one got of those kinds of games, huh?
And today, after work, before we did this, I like finished up the one I was on, and I was like, oh, I think I finally met the main villain. which is really funny. But yeah, I'm really liking it. Obviously, I'll save my opinion changes, but I wanted to call out one other thing, this breach mode that's separate from it. And I told you a little bit about this, but it's separate from the story, but like takes place in the same universe. And it's like the story is you're a hacker who's hacking their way through various servers, which is set up as like strings of like connected nodes on like a node map. And each node in it is a tiny little challenge where you like need to hack specific information out. And you do that by going into VR and stealthily avoiding security programs and interacting with server clusters to download them. AKA, it's basically the exact same thing as main Deus Ex, just with visuals that are fancy and hackery. Like your character doesn't really have a face. They just have weird polygons floating in the middle of nowhere. And when you kill a security program, they like, you know, pixelate and crash to the ground and then disappear. It's really cool. And I really like that mode. It's just fun if I'm like, well, I only have 45 minutes. I don't want to jump into Deus Ex because I'll get totally caught up. But I'll do a couple levels in Breach and work my way through and maybe try to earn a booster pack that might give me a cool pistol or something.
So it's another single-player mode.
It's a single-player mode.
Huh, that's weird.
Where, like, with high score,
there's
a time high score list and a point high score list. And it, you know, you can compare against your other Steam friends and stuff like that.
That's cool. It's like a challenge mode kind of thing.
Yeah, and I really like, and there is a story there, too. That you kind of unfold, you as a hacker, you get like hired to track down these things, and these little darknet stories is what they're called, are like not quite branching paths that give you unique missions that you have to do, and you have to have like IM conversations with people. And this is something that's really cool that's in the main game too, that a great way for them to justify dialogue trees. And it's neat. Like if you hack into a computer, sometimes you'll see that a person has an open IM conversation with another character and you pretend to be that person. And I don't know, for some reason that one feels even more natural than dialogue. Cause like Adam Jensen, it's not very good at, you know, socially hacking his way into things. Necessarily.
Not crushing his enemies.
Yeah. He can be like, hey, I have a pizza here. Don't you believe that I'm a normal pizza boy? Whereas, like, if you're on the IM thing, it's way more natural for him to be like, yeah, I'm coming to the spot. I lost the address, though. And then, you know, they'll give you stuff. Or, I don't know. For some reason, I really like that IM thing. And Breach Mode has you doing that, too, to try to get information or make decisions that alter the rewards or things that you get in Breach Mode. And you can unlock Praxis kits that you get in the main game too, which is nice.
That's fun.
Yeah.
There's not many single player games, like first person shooter games, that have those kind of challenge modes anymore.
No.
It seems like. The last one I can think of, at least the one that I played, was like Time Splitters.
Tomb Raider had one.
Yeah, yeah.
Rise of the Tomb Raider specifically.
Mm-hmm.
The original remake had one.
Yeah, it's funny, I really didn't have a lot of interest in the Tomb Raider one. Friggin' loved the Time Splitters one though. Oh my gosh, it's so fun. I don't know why.
Perfect Dark had one too.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah. And you're right, it definitely is kind of a throwback, and it definitely threw me for a loop. I had not heard anything about this in the announcements about Mankind Divided, and I didn't see it in any of the reviews I skimmed, so it was really cool to find it there and find it so fleshed out.
Yeah,
it's just really, there's a lot of content and little goofy dialogues in there.
It can be easy to throw something together and just, you know, kind of have it be half-baked idea of
right
it. And it's just like, I guess this is a fun little add-on, but I'm not gonna spend any time in here because it's really not interesting or fleshed out enough.
Which is sometimes how the Tomb Raider ones are, because you're just playing levels that were in the main game with different modifiers.
Yeah, I think that was probably part of the reason why it didn't.
Because it's like, I've seen all this stuff. I've done it.
Yeah, I've done it.
Whereas Breach is all new stuff. Like, with the booster packs you get, and it has a slightly different ability tree that you unlock, and I feel like there's an actual reason to do lethal things, because, like, they're programs. I don't care for a non-lethal run. And yeah. The only reason I would is if I was trying to maximize my points by not killing them, and sometimes killing them gets you higher points anyway, so...
So do you get graded?
You don't really... I mean, not quite. Like, sort of. Different actions within it get you points. So, like, not getting spotted gets you, like, a 2,000-point bonus.
Okay.
But each security thing you kill, you get different points based off how you kill them. So it might be better to kill each and every one of them for a point bonus, but then you'll lose points based off of how long you took to do the level two.
So is there any bonuses for being faster?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is, like, you get XP, and you get, like, money that you spend on booster packs. And XP unlocks new abilities. And if you manage to beat, like, each level has a super awesome score, a super awesome time, and you found every piece of data in the level. And each of those gets you a different bonus for completing them. So, yeah, it's really, I don't know. It's rewarding and it's fun. And it's, I can't play Deus Ex while, like, watching a TV show, but I can play Breach Mode while watching a TV show.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is always something I appreciate too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's cool. That's fun.
Yeah. So anyways, Deus Ex. Jeff gives it a probably thumbs up. Main plot feels Deus Ex-y. Characters feel Deus Ex-y.
Deus Sexy. Oh, yeah. Adam Jensen. Am I right, girls?
And it's funny. People keep talking about how, like, the story is, like, a little too on the nose with, like, as a racism analog, maybe.
Okay.
But, which, so the main story is about the conflict of people with augmentations and people without.
Like, Adam Jensen being an augmented man.
And right. And the world having gone through kind of this augmentation renaissance, and now it's falling apart, which helps it dovetail with the original Deus Ex's story. But, and now, like, people who have augmentations are being, like, shepherded into camps and being segregated against and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, it could be racist analogs here, except people who have augmentations very clearly, like, voluntarily got them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not quite the same thing, and I don't know. I think it's a very interesting thing, and I think they're handling it in a more interesting, complex way than than Human Revolution did.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. But I might change my mind. We'll find out.
We'll have to find out. We know that things can change when the game ends. With Xenoblade.
it definitely can change everything.
Yeah, yeah. The payoff sometimes isn't worth it, but you'll never know until you beat it. I finally got to play around with the Vive.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Yes.
To test out virtual reality. And it's a trip, man. It's really different. It's more different than anything you've ever played in a game before.
It's really funny. I saw someone on Reddit today who was like, why are people so excited for this new VR game coming out? Looks like a first-person shooter. Like, you just stand in one spot. I'm not going to play them until you don't have to teleport around. And I'm like, you obviously haven't played one before, because it's way different than a first-person shooter when you're actually in it. Like, I agree that it would be cool to not have to do the teleport thing.
I understand that mentality, just because it definitely... It breaks the immersion a little
bit. It definitely breaks the immersion. And I'm not gonna disagree, but, like, it's... I don't know. For me, I thought that too before I had actually tried it. And then once I tried it, I was like, this is a shortcut I'm willing to live with, because the rest of the VR experience is so awesome.
Yeah, it's so different. Like, I mean, I've been immersed in games before, obviously. And, you know, you're immersed in different ways when you're playing it on a TV. I feel like you're immersed in the story and the characters and, mm-hmm. and things like that. But, I mean, you are just immersed in this world in a sensory kind of way.
You are, like,
literally there.
You are literally dunked into it. You are immersed.
You can look around. You can see everything. You can look down. You can look up. I mean, you can look places that, you know, in a lot of games, you wouldn't be able to look, or the developer wouldn't let you look, you know?
Right.
So it's like, it's interesting. It's really cool to be able to do that and look around and see things and move in a way that you can't in normal games. Cause it's one-to-one to your head. You can crouch, you can, you know, look up, you can lean. Leaning actually means something.
Yeah. Man, I do want to play a stealth game like that. I know that they exist. I think stealth. Nope. Don't know what it's called.
So anyways, I tried out the kind of proof of concept game,
the lab
that came with it, the lab.
That is 16 gigabytes.
It's big.
It's a big game.
Yeah.
For a big man.
I'm not surprised. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just the complexity of it all, I'm sure, takes up just a lot of space in general.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. So they just kind of start you off with just a little tutorial in figuring out how the controller works and, you know, moving around and, you know, what the space you have to move around in is like, how big it is and all that. And it's just, it's crazy. It's just crazy to have virtual reality available in the home at this point at a reasonable enough price.
Like under $1,000.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously you're getting up there because you have to get the PC and all that. But this is presuming you already have one that can run this stuff. And it takes a lot to be able to run it. But pretty much for the majority of my time with it, it didn't dip below 60 or whatever.
Or whatever.
Any, like, an amount
raw data that, was probably the only one that did.
An amount that was noticeable.
Yeah.
I did not notice any dips until I played raw data. So try it out. It's fun to just like make the balloons and bop them around. Just, I don't know why it's fun.
It's
just
it's funny because it instinctively occurs to you to do it.
Oh yeah. Cause that's what you would do if there was a balloon there.
Right. So like, you're playing this game. If you press a button, a balloon will come out of the fake virtual controller that perfectly matches one-to-one the real controller in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And like your instinct is just once the balloon is released in floating weight to just bop it away with your controller. And it works.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like it makes me like giddy and happy too, which is,
yeah, it's just instinctively fun. And it's just instantly, you know, you're just like, oh yeah, I want to try this. And then it works. And it's just,
it's
cool,
like,
that it works.
Like when you're throwing the stick for the dog and you just hold the stick and tease it in the air above the dog and it starts jumping for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, dogs would do that, wouldn't
they?
Yeah. It is disappointing when you try to clack the sticks together, though.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
I tried the same thing.
Yeah. What else? The bow and arrow one was really fun. Surprisingly, it gives you quite the workout because you have to hold your hands up.
Yeah.
You know, as you're holding a bow and arrow.
People think I'm dumb for thinking that, but try holding your left hand straight out in front of you, fist clenched for like 15 minutes.
And you're holding something in your
hand. And you're holding something in it.
So, I mean, it takes a lot, and, you know, you're constantly pulling your arm back to shoot the bow, and it feels good. And it just is really satisfying to be aiming and shooting things. And I think, you know, with a lot more time with it, you would get pretty good at it, and it would just feel even better. What else is in the lab? There's...
The Galaga one is what you tried.
Yeah, the Galaga one. That was one of, if not my favorite thing that I tried there, just because, so basically you pick up this ship in your hand with one of the controllers, you pick it up, and then in that's what you control the ship with. That's the movement, is you moving your hand around.
Yeah.
And so you can like move it, you can angle it in any direction you want, you can move it any way you see fit to avoid all of the bullets and lasers that are coming your way.
It's really funny. When I play that, I tend to keep one position and just like use the ship and then like bring it back to neutral. But you really don't have to.
No, no.
You can move wherever you want within your free space.
Yeah. I was kind of all over the place.
Yeah. JD made some ridiculous dodges with that. Like between laser blasts. It was crazy.
It feels really good. And I think that's why it was so fun. Because you feel so cool dodging everything around. And especially when things get really nuts and you're just like weaving in and out of stuff. And because it's, you know, 3D, like it has that 3D stereoscopic image, you can tell the depth really easily.
Yeah.
And so it's fun to just be able to see that, be like, oh, I know there's a gap here, so I can just weave it through.
And that is 100% a game that could only work in VR, which is why I think it's such a good example.
Yeah, that was really addicting, and I probably would play that a lot more if I had it. Because it was a lot of fun to just do that, and it just was satisfying.
And there's a high, if you play the Infinity mode, there's a high score aspect too, which is obviously easily addictive.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's all that I tried there in the lab, right?
Yeah, I want to say so.
Yeah.
Like there's one that's like a water balloon thrower, and you throw you throw portal personality cores at things, and each of them are hilarious. Yeah. All of them are hilarious.
That's awesome.
And I bought Audio Shield that weekend. You didn't try that.
No.
It is just an exhausting game, and it's really cool.
Yeah, would be interested to try that at some point. But
we should try that. Like you stand in one spot, and it shoots like balls at you from way off in the distance. Yeah. Based off of the music that you pull off of your computer. And it's just exhausting. Cause you have like, there are different shields you can use. So you can like block them like Wonder Woman with her, bracelets.
Yeah.
Or like there are ones where you can like punch them away. I did that punching one with weighted gloves on. It was such a huge workout. My arms were killing me, and I was soaked absolutely in sweat.
Oh boy. Yeah. So after the lab, I tried out Raw Data.
Right.
FPS, wave based FPS.
Yeah.
Where you're shooting
like a
robots.
Horde mode type.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. Just kind of defending a location. Right. And, it felt good. It felt really cool to aim and shoot at things. My biggest gripe with it is that you can't put your hand up to,
you can't steady your pistol with your left hand.
Yeah. I thought about this later. I should have done this.
Yeah,
done it on my wrist.
The Western.
Yeah, the flashlight.
Shooter. Yeah.
You know, as you're holding a, like,
your left hand underneath your right wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or vice versa if you're left-handed. That would have helped a lot.
And it
would
have looked natural too, I think.
Yeah, I think it would have looked good in the actual game.
In the actual game where your hands are, but guesses where your hands are based off of where the
controller is. As it was,
are.
I kept accidentally hitting the main button to make you teleport around. Everywhere. So I was like, god dang it. So it took some getting used to get the aiming to work right. I had a lot more trouble when they were further away. I don't know if it's just because I'm bad at aiming or because it just doesn't feel quite like I would imagine it would. I don't know. I'd have to spend more time with it. I never shot a gun in real life.
Yeah, okay. Have you shot a pistol in real life?
No.
It's been a long time for me too. So I totally, all I remember is this, like in Raw Data, when I have an actual moment to like aim it up, I tend to do well, but when it's in the heat of the moment, I'm so awful at like lining the sights up perfectly.
Yeah.
And what I love in that game is actually being able to turn, you can actually just turn the gun sideways, gangster mm-hmm. style.
Can't
do that in games on command.
Yeah.
In other games.
Red Steel, you could.
On command?
Yeah.
There's like a button for it?
No, you just twist your hand.
Oh, with the Wii.
Yeah, with the Wii.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
But yeah, I thought I did pretty well. I mean, it just is semi-awkward.
No, you definitely did well.
Just because you have to teleport around and do stuff. And like, that's just not natural. Because in a normal FPS, right, you're constantly moving. And able to, you know, do things more on the fly and a lot quicker. I mean, this is obviously more quote-unquote true to life. You're not going to be moving around in real life shooting guys necessarily. You would most likely take cover or something.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, felt really cool.
It does feel really cool.
Crouch,
to take cover,
go down to one knee and, you know, pop up and shoot people.
And you didn't try using the sword either, where you can, you can lightsaber block shots back.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Which
definitely feels cool.
But I mean, it made me feel really awesome when, you know, dude's walking up to you and you just look to the side and shoot, you know. It just feels good to just like look over, just pop one shot, kill them in one hit as they're walking up to you. It just makes you feel awesome, you know, to do that. And it's not something you can do in a normal game. You can't just look to the side and shoot, you know, like, and have your feet set in one direction still. You know what I mean?
It is weird.
Like in some of the Mech Warrior games, you could turn your torso, but like keep moving in one direction.
That was a recipe for me to get really confused.
Me too.
In Mech Warrior.
But,
cause then I would try to turn my legs, and my head would end up turning, you know, obviously further. Ugh, awful.
But it's just a novelty to be able to just look to the side and shoot, you know, in that way. I don't know. It's faster in that sense. And that was really cool. I really wish I could see my legs though in the game.
Yeah.
It's just really
I imagine
weird.
They don't, because it's like super disorienting and nauseating.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Like, because if you looked down and then like leaned forward, it wouldn't know where your actual feet are. So the body would move forward with your head.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean, we could experiment. I've been working on my Unreal one.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I have controllers in it now. And I got a little landscape.
It's just a little weird. I don't know. It's just like not seeing my legs. Like,
I wish it were possible too, but I don't really see a good technical way to do it without some sort of belt accessory, perhaps?
Maybe, yeah.
Let's think about it.
The frame rate did dip pretty hard in some parts of raw data. And that hurt eyes and my stomach.
And it made your stomach upset.
So very clearly this needs to be at a high frame rate to make you feel comfortable. And so, and you said that this was still in beta or alpha.
Raw
or
data.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's in early access.
Yeah, so it's understandable. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway.
Cool. Moving on.
Now you know. Everyone, that both JD and I think VR is pretty cool.
I guess my verdict is I am not ready to go out and buy one. $800 is a lot of money for currently what I think is a novelty. There's nothing out there that I would want to keep playing all the time. While that Galaga game was super fun, I'm not going to buy an $800 piece of equipment to play it. And there's nothing on the horizon that I know about that's like, oh, I need to play that in VR.
So the new game from the mist from like the old Cyan Worlds people called Obduction. I want to say, it's apparently going to be in VR, and a mist game in VR makes complete sense. In those games, you're already teleporting around.
Yeah.
You generally can't just walk freely. So it makes complete sense in VR. And I think I'm going to hold off until it comes out in VR. And then I'm going to do that, because that would be awesome.
I am betting there's going to be some pretty amazing story-based games in VR. I can already see it. Like, it's just going to be like some pretty like heart-wrenching.
There's a free thing you can get called The Rose and I, and it's like a 5-minute short where very little happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you should experience it just cuz it's so short and it's easy to do, but the fact that you can see it with your own eyes and just like move around, like it takes place on this tiny little floating planet. And you can just kind of wander around the little planet if you want and look down at it as the tiny events happen on it. It was just so weirdly magical.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. Even though, seriously, like, non-events happen and then it's over.
Yeah.
It was still awesome. Like, ridiculously cool. I'm glad it was free, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Just like... I'm just like imagining like experiencing like the vanishing of Ethan Carter in VR.
Yeah.
Would be phenomenal.
And that would be a great game for it too.
Yeah.
Although
movement is the problem. Because I'm
you
not
could
sure.
Turn vanishing of Ethan Carter into like a mist like game though that has specific points that you teleport to.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Vanishing of Ethan Carter VR. I swear this is a thing. The Vanishing of Ethan Carter VR on Steam.
Is it a a thing?
This is a this is an official thing. It's $10 DLC. Wow. Yeah.
You should try that.
Yeah, right?
You should tell me how it is, because that sounds...
I'm putting it on my wish list.
That sounds ridiculous, because that game is...
Beautiful.
It probably is the most beautiful game I've ever played. Like, it's pretty gorgeous.
Works with the Vive or the Rift. Uses gamepad for input. I haven't tried that with any games yet.
Yeah. See, that is something that I'm not sure how I'd feel about it.
So I totally was going to do this and I spaced. I was going to try running a normal Steam game in VR where you like see it projected on a giant screen. And I was just going to sit at my desk and play it that way.
Yeah.
See how it worked. But I have not done that yet because I keep just forgetting and playing Deus Ex.
Yeah. I was wondering like how disorienting it would be to have like movement kind of ripped away from you a little bit, even though you're doing it.
I wonder the same thing.
And especially because like turning would be interesting. Like, I guess like you could like have a swivel chair and just like spin around to turn. But I mean, your cords might get kind of wrapped up around yourself a little bit. But that's the only way I could think to like make turning feel natural, at least so that you don't have turning ripped away from you. Because I think that would be especially disorienting, even more than movement. But yeah, I don't know. Let's move on.
Okay. Sorry. I'm reading reviews for... Looks like it's pretty mixed.
For Vanished of Ethan Carter?
For the VR version, specifically.
Yeah. Well, let's read that later, Jeff.
Okay, I'm sorry. all right. Pokemon Alpha Sapphire. I've played it a little bit. Got that last week. This came out, I want to say, a year ago.
Yeah, it's... kind of new, but not really.
Too much swimming.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell about it. Having just recently played a bunch of Pokemon XY, which this is built on the same engine of, I definitely like a lot of the improvements. They made the silly lower screen stuff a little more useful.
November 21st, 2014.
Wow, 2 years ago. Jeez.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good. I like Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's just fun, man.
It is fun.
And we played some Bloodborne this weekend.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say on that?
We streamed it. It was really fun. It got really silly. And Ludwig is really hard. We've been playing the DLC. That's kind of the reason why we picked it back up. Because we wanted to try the Old Hunters DLC. We've only played a little bit of it. We've only gotten to the first boss and haven't been able to beat him yet. It's been... months since we first encountered him. We left and we've come back and left and come back a couple times. And at this point, I think we are going to just, we're in it for the long haul and going to keep fighting him until we beat him.
Yeah, we're doing, we've gotten,
we got really, we've gotten, really close. I got close.
I hit her too close.
Twice. Jeff got close once. It was, it was pretty rough. I don't know why the last, I don't know why we keep dying so close to the end. Cause like that last form is difficult, but god dang, like it's, I feel like it's slightly easier than the first phase. I think by that point we're just, we've been in the fight for so long that it just kind of gets to us, you know? But it's fun. It's been great to play some Bloodborne, to stream it, have some people talk to us. So, if you're interested in that sort of thing, you can find us on Twitch and, yeah. Watch us play games. I'm probably on there more than Jeff is. I'm usually streaming something or other.
Did my headset come unplugged?
Nope.
Ah, I think maybe. Yeah, that's weird. Must have just been a loose cable.
You're a loose cable, Jeff.
I am. That's what my police lieutenant boss constantly tells me.
Yeah, that's weird since you... aren't a policeman.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I have to go in and give him my badge and gun every day.
Something about I'm not allowed to have a gun or something.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's, I don't know.
It's a weird life you lead.
My rights.
Yeah.
Bloodborne's so great, though.
It is.
It's just a good game.
You have anything to add?
I mean, I just love that we just cruised through the main game. We just
obliterated it.
We just bled it dry.
I beat Vicar Amelia first try.
That's true. Yeah, you crushed the boss. Like,
what the heck?
It did take us more than a few tries to beat Amygdala.
This time. Amygdala, man.
But then you just freaking took down what's her name?
Freaking
Emeritus, Bloodborne Emeritus.
No.
Ebrietus, daughter of the cosmos.
Yes.
Ebrietus. And like that was the one boss you could not beat first playthrough.
Yep. Beat it on my first try.
Yeah. I got pretty close second on my try. It's funny how that goes though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Once you beat a boss, they generally become super easy afterwards, no matter who it is. All right, let's talk about our pitiful news.
Yeah, there's not much.
First of all, tomorrow, Thursday, September 1st, 2016.
Oh my gosh, Jeff.
What is it, JD?
It's a Nintendo Direct.
What?
About the 3DS and only the 3DS.
Oh. Yeah.
The wind comes out of everybody's sails.
We both saw it was happening. And we were like, NX news?
Nope. Not at all. We don't know exactly what they're talking about. We're assuming Pokemon news, maybe some Dragon Quest news, Monster Hunter, Yokoi Watch 2, I think.
There was something. Oh, right. And then the bizarre rumor that there's going to be Super Mario Galaxy announced.
If you don't know, there's been a new model 3DS announced. Well, model, just version, I guess, skin, if you will. Galaxy is what it's called. It's just looks like a starry night.
Yeah.
3DS.
They're calling it Galaxy version, though.
Yes, they are calling it specifically Galaxy version. I hadn't heard this rumor, but I can see why it's a rumor, because they specifically called it Galaxy. I could see them.
Yeah.
They've ported Xenoblade to the 3DS. So I don't see why they couldn't port Mario Galaxy.
So supposedly Mario Galaxy was one of the first games that Nintendo tried to put on 3DS just to see what it could do. And something about the characters they couldn't get right. If it does come out for 3DS though, I might get it. I really like the original Mario Galaxy.
I wonder if it would be new 3DS specific.
Right. Maybe. Who knows? We'll have to find out on Thursday if we find anything out.
Yeah. So they have specifically said there will not be any new NX news. There are still people wondering if they will announce the announcement of NX news.
They'll announce the announcement, huh?
Yeah. So that they'll say, like, this is when we will actually talk about NX.
Yeah, they might. They might.
Which I could see, because that kind of doesn't count.
I could see them ending it that way. Like, come back in November.
Okay, November, screw you, Nintendo. Come on.
I just picked a day.
I know. I'm not saying screw you, Jeff. Screw Nintendo if they do that to us. They do that to me.
Oh, to you specifically.
Yes.
JD will be quite unhappy.
Everybody can watch it but you. So it's surprising and a little frustrating that this is just a 3DS announcement, but they probably want to get this stuff out of the way because they are going to eventually be shifting completely over to NX.
Yeah.
So
they got to keep an eye on that.
They might as well get this stuff done now while they can before all of the hype is taken by the NX and whenever that's going to come out, because who knows, supposedly March, but we still know nothing about it. And it's already just about September. So what's going on, man? I don't know.
Nobody knows. No, only Nintendo.
Yeah.
So last week there was sort of a rumor about Metal Gear Solid 5 Definitive Edition, which popped up in some like ratings board somewhere, and questions of what the heck that would include came out. And now it's official on Konami's site. It's basically a re-release of Metal Gear Solid 5 that includes both Ground Zeroes, the prequel game, and the Phantom Pain and all of the DLC that's been released for them so far. Now, all the DLC is mostly like cosmetic things or, you know, like silly weapons you can research and equip yourself with that aren't that great, or emotes online, and something called like Quiet on the Western Front, which is a like a DLC pack. DLC like expansion for Metal Gear Online, if you're still playing that or interested in playing that. So I did the math. At full price, everything costs about $80, and this is going to cost $50. So
good deal.
If you like those little DLC cosmetic changes, then this is probably a great deal. If you haven't played Metal Gear Solid 5 and want to play both Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain, if you wait for this to go on Steam sale, you'll probably get both of them for about $25.
Yeah.
So it's really a pretty good deal. People love hating on Konami related to Metal Gear right now, and there were a lot of pachinko machine jokes I had to wade through to actually find out what was included here. But it seems like it's a pretty decent deal if you haven't bought these games yet.
These definitive editions generally are a pretty good deal if you never played the original game, don't have any piece of it, you know. If you're interested, this is probably for you.
Yeah.
So, pretty cool. We found out that you actually will not get a refund for No Man's Sky beyond the normal limit.
I mean, like, people were really excited that Amazon and someone else were giving refunds. I want to say GOG. And we're saying, like, Steam was doing it. It's like,
yeah.
The first two named, that's their normal refund policy.
Yeah.
And Steam is not offering any special refunds related to No Man's Sky. It's just like they'll look at your time, they'll listen to your excuse why you want it refunded, and if they agree it's good, they'll give it to you.
If you've played 250 hours, you're not going to get it refunded.
Right.
Because you have gotten your money's worth by that point, so too bad, I guess. If you play it that much, you probably enjoyed it at least a little bit, because... why would you play something that long if you don't like it?
Or, like, and if you've played something that long, you have gotten your money's worth out of it, whether or not you enjoyed it.
It's true.
I mean, you can. If you go see a movie and you really hate it, you can ask for a refund. And some movie theaters will give it to you just to get you out of their face.
Yeah, yeah.
But
if you're annoying enough.
You paid to see a movie and you sat there and watched it. Whether or not you liked it is your issue.
Yeah.
Even if the trailers led you astray as to what kind of movie it was going to be.
Yeah.
If you watch it through to the end,
that's a risk you take.
That's a risk you take when you make a purchase.
A ticket.
Yeah. I really do not get this, but yeah. You know, people.
Yep. People be crazy, Jeff.
They're the worst.
And other news, Halo 5 Forge is coming to PC on September 8th, which is very exciting, just because you can use a mouse, I think, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Not sure if it's going to actually change Forge at all, but even if it like doesn't and like it just allows you to use mouse, like that's a little bit more accuracy that you can place things down with.
Yeah, I'm worried that it'll basically be you use the mouse to move that annoying little slow moving cursor around that you use in Forge mode on the console. You know?
What cursor?
I guess.
It's in first person, right?
Yeah, but when you place things, aren't they placed? Where do they get placed?
They just hover out in front of you.
I guess you're right.
As you put them down.
I'm betting it's basically going to be that, except you're using the mouse to look around.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm expecting.
Which would be disappointing, because it's not taking the full advantage of the mouse.
What I'm hoping is that it gives you this nice overhead view. You can push stuff down nicely. It won't be.
Yeah, I wouldn't get your hopes up.
But that's what I would hope for.
And in fact, I'm here to crap all over your hopes.
Well, too bad, because I'm a dreamer,
Jeff. That's
not
going to happen,
Jimmy. I'm a dreamer.
Are you the only one?
Yes. Only me. Nobody can trample on my dreams. Tread softly, Jeff.
Okay, man.
For you tread on my dreams.
So
it's
we
a quote
finally
from something.
Yeah. I mean, I know Sean Bean says it in Equilibrium.
Okay,
I,
that's what I thought it was from.
I don't know who he's quoting. I want to say Yeats.
I don't know. The book he was reading when what's-his-face shot him. Christian Bale.
Yeah, okay. I was about to say.
Yeah.
Not
a spoiler.
It was Yeats. I totally was right. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly because you tread on my dreams. The cloths of heaven.
There you go, Jeff.
Typo. I think he meant clothes. It's like a robe, right? That's the clothes of heaven.
Sure.
Finally, we talked last week that there was going to be finally the full announcement of the Dark Souls 3 DLC called Ashes of Andaria. We knew a lot about it. But what we did not know was exactly
Ariandel,
what the story.
Jeff.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Andariel.
No. Ariandel.
Ariandel. Well, you mistyped that.
Did I?
Ariandel.
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 Ari. Andel.
Ariandel.
So from the looks of it, Miyazaki loves snow. He loves creepy people. And he loves references to the original Dark Souls. And all of those are there. And he loves freaking dogs. God damn dogs, JD.
Dogs are the worst.
They're the worst in Souls games.
Easy to kill, but they die quickly at least. They're quick. Gotta watch out, and they really suck in packs.
They do, and they look like there are packs in this game. But it might have something to do with the painted world of Ariamis.
And
the painted world of Ariamis?
What?
No, I can't remember if that's what it actually is. Oh, that is it. Man, good work, Jeff.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
I did not hear it.
Yeah.
No, I was
specifically
in
called it Ariamis. Exactly like you knew what I was saying.
I was in my own world. I probably just nodded.
No, I mean, you said, yeah.
That's a verbal nod.
Okay.
We
had a whole conversation about the word Ariamis. I'm just kidding.
There's a boss that looks like it's pouring boiling hot Estus.
Delicious.
Looks pretty great. And there's a creepy spidery person flagellating themselves.
That's fun.
Big fan. lore implications can only be guessed at, but I'm very excited. It's definitely single player content. You stupid people on the internet who thought it was going to be a PvP only DLC.
Those were players, Jeff.
You stupid.
Those big guys were players.
Stupid people.
With special
skins. They was big
skins.
I'm a big guy in the Dark Souls PvP universe.
So we're expecting it to have something to do with the Painted World. And whatever the heck Ariandel is, we don't know. Maybe it's a new name for the Painted World. Maybe it's a place adjacent to the Painted World.
I think that's Guinevere's new name. Yeah, she changed her name for no reason because it's Dark Souls. Time is fluid.
I mean, aren't they dead, though?
Who knows? The Nameless King was alive.
Yeah,
her brother.
Guinevere was...
Gwendolyn. Dang it.
Yeah.
No, Gwendolyn was the dude.
Yeah.
Guinevere's a girl.
Gwendolyn also dead. Twice, though.
No, maybe, but maybe... Maybe Guinevere, like, just left. We don't know if she died.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Dark Souls lore is weird, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's a little crazy. So, yeah, that's the news. That's about it, man.
Ah. Convoluted. The flow of time in Lordran is convoluted.
Yes.
Is the phrase. Yeah, that's the news. How much time we got on the clock?
We're at 55 minutes on the dot.
Well... Would you like to give a very brief, I know it's hard, summation of what you want out of a new 3D Mario game, JD? Let's go through, because I know you're not super into the newer 2D Mario games.
Yes, and that's why I specified 2D as well, because
what would I want? Let's talk
that
then, because I feel like we're into that more.
Yeah, so what I want from a 2D Mario is something just like out there, something different, something that doesn't look as vanilla normal as the new Super Mario Bros. Games look.
Which is basically just classic Mario,
Yeah.
In a 3D, on a 2D plane.
I want it to take my breath away visually. I want it to look really interesting and take like a crazy art style that they seem to do so well with the Zelda series.
So like Super Paper Mario was a somewhat 2D platformer with a Paper Mario aesthetic.
Like, man, I really like that. In my mind, I picture like a drawn art style for it. I feel like that would be really interesting. Like Child of Light-ish.
Yeah.
Art style would look beautiful and like...
Hasn't there been a Mario that's kind of like that? Well, like the storybook segments of Super Mario Galaxy, not gameplay segments.
Sure.
But they kind of have a drawn and crayon cartoony feel.
A little bit,
to them.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be interesting.
I just want them to take it, like, just run with it, you know? I don't want them to just fool around with it.
And because they're Nintendo, from their art style, the gameplay will evolve.
Exactly. And that would be so cool. And, like, just, I would love to see just, like, I don't know, like, dynamic weather and stuff. I think that could be interesting. I just think that they could do so much cool stuff with an art style and make it look so beautiful. And I just feel like that's something that the Mario games could do really well and just create a beautiful kind of different look to the Mushroom Kingdom, I guess. Yeah. And just take it in a different direction, you know?
Because the new Super Mario Bros. Games all look nearly identical.
Yeah.
And they all use the same sort. Like, World had some really cool ones. With the Van Gogh style levels, which were like two.
Yeah. In New Super Mario Bros. U?
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Super Mario Bros. U had a couple really cool worlds. Yeah. That was about it.
And like the Super Mario 3D World had crazy ideas all over the place, right? And there are certain areas of that game. I think it was in some of the Haunted Mansion levels where you go outside and it's raining and like the rain is like on the screen and stuff. And
yeah.
I want something like that in a 2D Mario. I think that would look so cool. And like, I don't know, like maybe it would like raise and lower water or something, or I don't know, like maybe it would just look good. Like it doesn't have to change anything gameplay wise. It would just make the level look really pure, really pretty and like have lightning. And
that would make it worth it to play more.
Yeah, it'd just be more interesting. It would be something actually new and different.
And I mean, honestly, here's what I want. 2D levels that are difficult.
Yeah.
I played all of New Super Mario Bros. 2, and I want to say I didn't really have a problem with any of it. It was all super easy. I want a difficult 2D Mario.
Yeah, that doesn't only get difficult after you beat the game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the challenges in New Super Mario Bros. U, those were interesting.
Yeah.
But I want the actual game to be just a little challenging.
It's like New Super Mario Bros. Wii only got hard once you got to the Star Road area.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this is finally hard, but it's only really hard if you go for all the star coins.
Right. You can get through them still.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want them to do something interesting and different with it. Because I don't think that they really... The new Super Mario games feel a little bit lazy.
They do. I mean, with Mario Maker now, they feel even lazier. Because it's like, I could make most of these levels in Mario Maker.
Yeah. And they have their own assets and their own little things that you can't do in there. Right. But there are most of the things you could make a version of using tracks or something, or, you know, what have you. I just really want them to do something different with it and like not take the easy route, you know, just have an original idea. Don't make it just vanilla normal looking. Like, I don't want the old Mario game just with slightly better graphics or just with 3D modeling, which is what New Super Mario Bros.
It's really all they are.
And it just needs to look cool, man. I don't know. I just want them to do something else.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, for 3D Mario, I just want a hub world.
We can talk about 3D Mario at a later date. I think there's more to unwrap there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hub world is mine. It's dumb, but that's my number one request. Yeah. I want a hub world.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but I love hub worlds. It's my favorite part of Nuts and Bolts.
Yeah, it's great.
And that's weird. I mean, Spiral Mountain and Grunty's Castle were great in the originals, but like
Showdown Town has a lot
Showdown
of
Showdown Town has a lot going on.
A lot of character.
There's so much stuff going on in it.
Fun people there. Fun yeah. characters.
Like
NPCs
the
running around.
The pig. Yeah. The pig like sheriff dude and yeah.
The rhino people are funny. And hey. They just look funny.
What kind of an idiot hits a rhino with a car?
I know.
Funny. Anyway,
yeah.
We'll have to talk more next week, JD.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll talk about the 3DS Direct.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. If there's anything that we're excited for. I don't think we're really looking forward to anything in particular.
Might have, no.
But
we'll talk about it. Might have final opinions on Deus Ex. We'll see if I am even close to the end by then.
Yep. I'm hoping to play some more GeForce Gemini to maybe start up Secret of Monkey Island.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we'll play Perfect Dark.
Yeah, we should. Great idea.
We'll see.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, cool. We'll see you guys all around the internet.
Yeah. Let us know what you think about this podcast. Hopefully you like it. If you don't or have any suggestions for us, feel free to leave a comment or leave a review for us on iTunes.
Yeah.
If you're not on iTunes and on our website, you can subscribe to us and take us on the go with you. Just search Press Start to Start.
Like on your phone, it can get downloaded and stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or if you have an old-fashioned iPod.
Yeah. It's a new brave world.
Like they're called podcasts for a reason, kids.
Yeah.
Think about it.
It's crazy.
Man, that is totally... It's like the... there's a word for it. But like save icons look like floppy disks.
They're yeah.
Like that iconography is completely detached from anything we deal with. The word podcast is basically the same because... I think I'm the only person I know who still listens to his iPod.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
It is really funny and also very sad that people are like, oh, that looks like the save icon from a computer. Like, oh, no.
No, it looks like a floppy drive.
No. How do you not know? It's because you were born
oh,
in
weird.
2000.
Oh, weird. That thing hanging on your wall looks just like my call a person button on my phone.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, we'll see you all next week. Until then.
Press end to end. You screen peeker, you.
you kings of Maine. You peekers of screen. You
grab all your screens, grab your phones, and listen to thine podcast.
What? You're just getting weird. I was quoting Michael Caine.
So was I.